B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Tes. We're going to start 11 lines from the bottom of Daf Ches Omid Beis. Says the Gemara, Lelishkas Parhedrin V'chulu. This takes us right back to the first Mishnah of the Masechton, Daf Beis Omid Aleph. We saw in the Mishnah that Shivas Yomim Koidim Yom HaKippurim Mafrishim Kohen Gadol MiBeisoy. Where does the Kohen Gadol go to for those 7 days? Lelishkas Parhedrin. To this chamber called Parhedrin, and it's good to know that in other versions of the Mishnayos, it says Palhedrin, not Parhedrin, but it's the same chamber. So the Gemara is now going to discuss what's this word Parhedrin actually mean, and where does it come from, and why was it called this way? Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda said, V'chilishkas parhedrin hoisa? Was this chamber called the chamber of parhedrin? V'halo lishkas balvoti hoisa? This lishka, this chamber, was actually called, as Rashi calls it, lishkas sorim, the chamber of nobility, because the kohanim gedolim would be there. And that's a very noble place and very noble people, and therefore it wasn't called lishkas parhedrin, it was called lishkas balvoti. So why does the Mishnah call it Parhedrin? Elo says the Gemara to Braisa, Bitchila hayu kairin oisa lishkas balvoti. At the beginning, during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, and the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, until the end of the days of the Kohen Gadol, Shimon HaTzadik, they would call it lishkas balvoti. Umitoich shenoisnin olav momoin lekuhuna. From that point on, where the Kohanim Gedolim were not necessarily tzaddikim, rather they were people with influential people, people who bribed their way and paid their way to becoming Kohanim Gedolim, umachlifin oisa kol shnei mosar chodesh. And to these Kohanim, since they were not righteous people, they would do things wrong and whatever else would be the cause, but they would never end the year, because having the position of a Kohen Gadol has a lot of responsibility, and if you do it wrong, then they are punishable by Misa B'dei Shemaim. And every year the Kohanim Gedolim would die, and new Kohanim Gedolim would have to be put into place. And then the next Kohen Gadol was just as unworthy, and again wouldn't live out the year. And therefore was Parhedrin Halolu. It was similar to these appointees, these administrators, Shemachlifin Oysam Kol Shnei Masar Chodesh. The custom was that they would change these appointees every year. So just like Parhedrin, which are appointees, are changed every year, so too the Kohanim Gedolim used to change every year. Lefikach, and therefore from that point on, Hoyukoirin Oysa Lishkas Parhedrin, therefore they would call it Lishkas Parhedrin, because the Kohen Gadol would go in and would not last the year. Continues the Gemara, and now we're just bringing another reference to this concept or this word called Parhedrin, another place where the Parhedrin are mentioned. Tananasam, we learnt in a Mishnah in Demai, and we know that Demai means that if you buy produce, fruits, vegetables from somebody who's not known to be a Talmud Chacham and not known to take Trumas and Maisras, and we know that there's a whole list of Trumas and Maisras, there's Truma Gedola, and then there's Maisa Rishon. In year 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Shemitah, there was Maisa Sheni. In year 3 and 6, there was Maisa Oni. From the Maisa Rishon that's given to the Levi would give Trumas Maisa to the Kohen. And there was also a concept of Chala, which is separating part of the dough. And if you buy bread from an Amoritz, and you don't know if all this has been taken, what's the Halacha? So the Mishnah speaks about the bakers, the Nachtoimim, Loichivu Oison Chachomim, Lahafrish, Elo Trumas Maisa, V'chala. The only parts of all these Trumas and Maisras which the bakers were made to take from Demai, obviously, if we know it's 100% Tevel, we know for absolutely that none of the Trumas and Maisras have been taken, of course he has to take all the Trumas and Maisras. But we don't know, it's Demai. And the halacha is that most Amei Haaretz actually do take Trumas and Maisras. So min HaTorah you can rely on that, and you do not need to take any Trumas and Maisras. The Chachomim, however, said, take Trumas and Maisras. However, in regards to the bakers, the Chachomim were more lenient, and they said they only have to take Trumas Maisa, which is the 10% of the 10% of Maisa Rishon, which the Levi got, which the Levi had to give to the Kohen, because if one eats Trumas Maisa, then it's punishable by death, like if one eats, that means if a Yisrael eats Chumas Maisa, it's Chiyuv Misa, like if he would eat Tevel or with Chumah Gedayla. V'chala, and he also has to separate Chala. So the Gemara is going to explain. Bishleim Chumah Gedayla loy. Why do we not expect him to take Chumah Gedayla? Titania, we learned in the Braisa, Lefisha Sholach B'chol Gvul Yisrael, they checked, they sent round in all the places in on the borders of Eretz Yisrael, v'ra'ash ein mafrishin ela Chumah Gedayla bilvad. They saw that the Amei Haaretz were taking Chumah Gedayla. They were definitely taking Chumah Gedayla. There was no Amei Haaretz that would take the risk of not taking Chumah Gedayla. Also, if one doesn't take it, the punishment is very serious. Also, the amount one has to give, the minimum amount is not very much. So therefore, we can comfortably assume that Chumah Gedayla has been taken. Maisa Rishon u'Maisa Oni, Nami Loi. Why does this baker not have to take Maisa Rishon, which is given to the Levi, or Maisa Oni, given to the poor people? Then also not. What does that mean? Rashi explains, you have to separate it, because we assume, or we have to take into account the possibility that Am Haaretz has not taken it, and then it's considered Tevel, so you have to separate it. Well, as soon as you've separated it, then the produce, the fruits, the whatever you're using is not Tevel anymore. Now, when it comes, once you've separated it, actually having to give it to the Levi or to the poor person, that's already a financial question. Well, they would have to prove on an absolute level that you actually were required to take Maisa Rishon and Maisa Oni, and that the Am Haaretz hadn't taken it. And we know, Hamoitzi Mechaveri, Olavaraya, you Levi, you poor man, you're trying to take this Maisa Rishon or Maisa Oni, prove that that I had to take it. And as soon as they separated it, it's already not Tevel. Elo Maisa Sheini, which means that the owner themselves separate it, and the owner themselves takes it to Yerushalayim to eat it in Yerushalayim. Why do we say that the baker doesn't have to take Maisa Sheini? He only has to take Trumas Maisa and Chala. He should take Maisa Sheini. Nifrusha, he should separate it. V'noskyu, and he should take it up v'nichliu l'Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. Well, there's no reason not to do that. He's not going to lose anything because he's going to eat it himself there. Oma Ula. So Ula is explaining, Mitoich She Parhedrin. This is at the Parhedrin. These appointees, these administrators that were appointed, Parhedrin Alolu Chivtin Oison Kol Yud Beis Chodesh. Every 12 months, as we saw before, the king or whoever was in charge there would change these Parhedrin, and the Parhedrin would look for excuses to take taxes. So they would force, they would say to the bakers, Michru Bezoil, we're forcing you to sell your breads very cheap. Exactly what they stood to gain by doing that is not so clear, but somehow they would make money by the fact that the bakers were selling the breads for cheap. It would help these Parhedrin bring in more taxes and make more money. And therefore, since they were forced to sell the bread so cheap, Lo Yitrachinu Rabbonon, the Rabbonon did not bother them to have to go to Yerushalayim with the Maisa Sheini. They exempted them and they relied on the fact that Rav Amei Haaretz, most Amei Haaretz, actually do take Trumas and Maisas, and therefore there was no issue with that. My Parhedrin, what are these Parhedrin that get switched every 12 months? Purusi, these are administrators that get changed the whole time. So this was just a side point where these Parhedrin are mentioned again. And in other places in Shas, many of these details of Demai are discussed at length. There's a whole Masechtas in Seder Zeroim called Masechtas Demai, where all these halachas are discussed at greater length. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabba Bar Barchon, Omer B'yechanon. Maidichsiv, we're now discussing the fact, as we saw before, that until Shimon HaTzadik, the Kohanim Gedolim were Tzadikim, afterwards they were not. We're going to discuss that more. Maidichsiv, this that it says in the Pasuk, Yiras Hashem, those who fear Hashem, Toisif Yomim, their days will be, they'll be given even more days than they were going to get initially. Ushnois Rashoim, and the years of the Rashoim, Tiktzorna will get cut down, will get shortened. Yiras Hashem Toisaf Yomim. Who are these Yiras Hashem that their days were prolonged? Zem Mikdash Rishon. This was the first Beis Hamikdash. She'omad arba miris ve'eser shonim. The Beis Hamikdash stood 410 years. V'leishim shuboy elo yud beis keanim gedolim. The Vilna Gaon says that in the whole 410 years, only 12 keanim served, which means that each kohen that served for many, many years, and the keanim gedolim were obviously tzaddikim. Ushnois Roshoim tikzerno, and the years of the Roshoim got cut down. Zemigdash sheni, that's referring to the second Beis Hamikdash. She'omad arba meis ve'esrim shana, that it stood for 420 years. V'shimshu bo yeisa mishleish meis keanim, and there were more than 300 keanim that spanned those 420 years. Why? Tzeim mehem, let's subtract from the 420 years 40 years Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol. 80 years Yochanan Kohen Gadol, a single Kohen Gadol, served for 80 years. 10 years Sheshimesh Yishmoel ben Pobi. V'omri lo, others say Yud Aleph, 11 years Sheshimesh Rebelezer ben Charsim. Mikan ve'elech, besides for those that we just mentioned now, Tzeve Chashev, calculate kol echod ve'echod lahitzi shnosei. Each kohen didn't finish the year. So we see that all in all, there was more than 300 kohenim that served over the 420 years of the second Beis Hamikdash. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Torto. Now the truth is that the literal translation of Torto is a cow. And it's not probable that Rabbi Yochanan was the son of a cow. So what does it mean? It means, and this is something which is related at length in the Psikta, that Rabbi Yochanan was actually a convert. This Rabbi Yochanan ben Torto, he actually bought a cow from somebody who was Shomer Shabbos, and the cow was used to not working on Shabbos. And this guy bought the cow, and the cow wouldn't refuse to work on Shabbos. He came back to the original owner, the Yisrael, and said to him, "What's going on?" The Yisrael whispered something into the cow's ear, and the cow started working. And this person thought it was magic, witchcraft. He said, "What's going on here?" He said, "No, I'll explain it to you. We don't work on Shabbos. Our animals do not work on Shabbos." And I told him that now that he's been purchased by a non-Jew, then he can work on Shabbos. And this guy was so impressed that this cow can appreciate the day of rest of Shabbos that he decided to become a convert. So the thing that actually turned Rabbi Yochanan into a Yisrael was actually this cow, and that's why he's called Rabbi Yochanan ben Torto. What did he say? Mipnei ma chorva shiloi. We know that when they first came into Eretz Yisrael, there was still the Mishkan. There wasn't the Beis Hamikdash yet. Where was this Mishkan positioned? It was positioned in Shiloh. And for many, many years, until the days of Eli HaKohen, the Mishkan was in Shiloh. But ultimately, the Mishkan Shiloh got destroyed. Why? Mipnei shehoyu bo shnei dvarim. Because there were two things, the two issues, two averus, so to speak, that caused its destruction. Number one was Gilui Arayos, and number two was Bizoyin Kochim, that they didn't give enough respect to the Korbonis, and also there was an issue there of inappropriate behavior bordering on Gilui Arayos. Says the Gemara, Gilui Arayos, Tichsiv, where do we see that there was something that happened in the time of the end of the life of Eli HaKohen that was considered Gilui Arayos? Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Ve'eli Zokein Moid, Eli was very elderly, V'shomais Kol HaShiyasun Bonov L'chol Yisrael, and he heard what his sons, referring to Chofni and Pinchos, did to Klal Yisrael. Ve'isa sheyifshkvun es hanoshim, they would lie with the women. Hatzoivois Pesach El Moed, who would come gathered to the entrance of the Mishkan. The literal translation of that is that these sons of Eli did some serious averas of Gilui Arayos with these women. But the truth is, the Gemara has got to clarify that. V'afel gavda omer b'shmul bar nachmeni omer Rabbi Yochanan kol ha'imer b'nei Eli chotu. Anyone who says that the sons of Eli actually did these averus, ein ela toya, he's mistaken. Mitoich sheshohu, but because of their arrogance somewhat, they delayed Eskineim, bringing the pairs of birds that these women were after birth, and they'd come to bring these birds, which a woman has to bring after birth, and they delayed bringing the korbanos. Normally these korbanos should have been offered the day that they were brought. But because of their arrogance, and some mepharshim say because there was not any flesh for them to benefit from these birds, they just delayed offering them up. And these women would wait the extra day in Yerushalayim before going back to their husbands, in order to make sure that indeed these birds had been offered, and they had to wait for the next day. And since they had to wait for the next day, since they prevented these women from going back to their husbands, and had they been the extra day with their husbands, they possibly could have caused that they should be able to become pregnant and have more children. And since they delayed it by a day, it's, so to speak, it's as if they did such an avera. What was the bizoyan kochim? Where do we find a disgrace to kochim at that time? The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, Gam beterem yaktirun, even before they would offer up on the Mizbeach as a chel of the fats, Ubo nar ha-kohen, and this youth of the kohen, would come, v'omar le'ish ha-zaveach, and he would say to the person who's taking care of the korban, who's roasting the parts of the korban that ultimately would become and belong to the owners, just parts of it, the chaz of a sheik, would go to the kohanim, and he would say, "Tno bosa litzlis lekohen, give us meat in order to roast for the kohen." V'lo yikach mimcha bosor mevushal ki imchai, and we're not waiting for it to be fully cooked. We want to give it to us raw. V'yoymer eila v'ish, so the person that was roasting the korban, he said, "Kater yaktirun, first offer it up onto the mizbeach kayoim hachelev. First offer the chelev, the fats that need to go on the mizbeach. Offer them up on the mizbeach, and v'kach l'cha, and afterwards you can take for yourselves ka'asher t'av nafshecha, which whatever you desire, but don't take it now. Don't take it first." V'omar loy, and he said to him, or loy, he said, "No, ki ato titin, give us the meat right now. V'im loy, and if you don't, lokachti b'choska, I'm going to take it by force." V'tihi chatas ha'na'orim g'doyla ma'oid, the avera of these people was very great. Es p'nei Hashem, there was a big avera, ki ni'atzu ha'anoshim es minchas Hashem, because these people disgraced the korban of Hashem. So you see that the way that Chofni and Pinchas, and it's discussed in Shabbos, was it both Chofni and Pinchas? This is a discussion that we've already seen elsewhere. And they were clearly disregarding the value and the respect and honor deserving for the korbanos. And that was another aspect that contributed to ultimate destruction of Mishkan Shiloh. And now that we've discussed why Mishkan Shiloh got destroyed, we're going to discuss why the first Beis HaMikdash got destroyed and why the second Beis HaMikdash got destroyed. Mikdash Rishon Mipnei Ma'achorav, why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Mipnei Shlesha Dvarim. Because of three Averis, Shehoyu Boi, Avodah Zarah, idolatry, V'Gilui Arayos, Averis of immorality, U'Shfichas Domim, and bloodshed and murder. Avodah Zarah, where do you see that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash there were people guilty of idolatry? The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, Ki kotzar hamatzo mehistorea. In the literal translation is that the matzah, the couch, was too short to be able to stretch on. Mehistorea means to stretch on. And the Pasuk continues, Vamaseicha tzoro kehiskanis, which means that the cover was too narrow to curl up in. So the Gemara says, "My kotzar hamatzo mistareya." What does it mean that the couch was too short to stretch on? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, kotzar matzo ze. This, so to speak, this couch, this resting place of the Shechina, referring to the Beis HaMikdash, was too short, meistarir olav shnei reim ke'echod. There was no space there for rivalry, for competition. You can't have also the Shechina there and also Avodah Zarah. And it was Menashe that put an Avodah Zarah into the Heichal. And that was the Avodah Zarah, which there was no space, so to speak, in the Beis HaMikdash for it. And that was one of the reasons that caused the destruction of Avodah Zarah. And the pasuk continues, V'amaseicha tzara mehiskanis, and the cover was too narrow to curl up in. What's that alluding to? Omer Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Kimoti Rabbi Yonason Nahikro, when Rabbi Yonason came to this pasuk, Bochi, he would cry. Omar, and he said, Mandech Sivbei Koineis Kaneid Me'ayom, this great Hashem that was said on him, the Hashem gathered like a mound the waters of the sea at Kriyas Yamsuf, which is the Hiskanis. That means the Hiskanis is curling up, but it means that referring to Hashem, where it says about him, Koineis Kaneid, it now says, Nasis Lo Masecha Tzora. This Masecha, which is Avodah Zarah, an idol, has become a Tzora, has become a rival to him. That's what it means, that Masecha Tzora, that this rivalry of Avodah Zarah, Kehiskanis, is now, so to speak, in place of Hashem's Shechina, where Hashem is the one that was gathering the waters like a mound. So you see from here that they were engaged in Avodah Zarah. And that's as far as Avodah Zarah. Gilui Arayos, where do we see that they were guilty of immorality? Tachsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem, Yan, since Kigovhu Benois Tzion, that the daughters of Tzion, they were arrogant, Vatilachno Netuya Isugorin, and they would walk with outstretched necks, Umasakris Enoim, and they would be gazing with the eyes, Holoich Vetofoif, and they would, when they were going, then it was a tofoif teilachno, the way that the fashion they were walking was as if they were floating, Ubraglem Taakasno, and with their feet they were spouting venom. That's the literal translation of the pasuk, and the Gemara is going to explain it. Yan kigovhu benois tzion. What does that mean? That because the benois tzion, the daughters of Yerushalayim, they were arrogant. Shehoyu mahalchis aruka betzad ktsara. Very tall girl would walk next to a very short girl, and then it would stick out and cause undue attention. Vatelachno netuyois gorin, that they would walk with outstretched necks. Shoyu mahalchis bekeimot skufa, they would walk with a posture that was very erect and inappropriate. Umasakrois enoim, what does that mean? Dehavu malyon kuchla, then they would fill up their eyes with kuchla enem, they would fill their eyes with makeup, again causing undue attention. Holoich vetofoif teilachno, that they would be walking in a floating fashion. What does that mean? Shoyim halchis ekev b'tzad goydel, they would walk very slowly and casually, their heels in front of their big toe of the other foot, very slowly, taking very small steps, again causing attention, drawing attention. Ubraglem ta'akasno, and with their feet they would spout venom. Om Rabbi Yitzchok Shoyim Avius Morvar Farsamoin, they would take these perfumes and scents, Umanichos Biminoleon, and place them in their shoes. Ukshmagia Yisrael Bachure Yisrael, and when they would pass the boys of Klal Yisrael, Boyatois, they would stamp, Umatizo Yisaleim, and it would spray on them the perfume, Umachnisin Behem Yitzhara, and this would put the Yitzhara into them, Keeres, like the venom, Bekeos, of an angry snake. So there you see that there was an issue of immorality, of gilui arayos, inappropriate behavior. Shvichas domim, where do we see that there was bloodshed? Tuchsiv, it says in the pasuk, v'gam dam noki, and innocent blood, shofach menashe harbe moid, menashe spilt very much, ada shemilies Yerushalayim pe'lepeh, until Yerushalayim was filled from one end to the other with the blood of innocent people. And there's a discussion in the Beforeshim what this means. Did it mean there was a lot of blood? Does it mean that he killed very prominent people, and therefore it was as if there was that much blood? That's discussed in the Beforeshim. And now the Bach says that we have to skip a couple of lines. Roshoim hoyu, still referring to the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, they were Roshoim. They were doing Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Domim, as we saw. Elo shetolu bitchoinem b'kadosh baruch hu, they hung their trust, they trusted in Hashem. Asan l'mikdosh rishon, d'chsiv, it says in the pasuk, Roshe ha b'shoichad yishpoitu, v'koyaneo b'mechir yoiru, unuvieo b'kesef yiktsoimu, v'al Hashem yishoeinu, leimoyra le'Hashem b'kirbeinu le'isovoy oleinu hora. Because regarding the first Beis HaMikdash, we see explicitly in the Pasuk that their heads of Klal Yisrael, the leaders, they were judging with bribes. The Kohanim, they would rule, but for after taking a fee, they would prophesize, Nevi'ah b'kesev yiksoimu, they would prophesize with after having taken money. V'al Hashem yesheinu, and they would rely on Hashem, leimer saying, Alei Hashem b'kirbeinu, Hashem is amongst us, leisovo eleinu ro, Hashem, no harm will befall us. And since they had this trust that in spite of their negative behaviors, Hashem would just not respond to that, l'fikach hevi aleihem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem brought onto the people by the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, Gimel Gzeiros, three decrees, Keneged Gimel Averos Shebiyadam, corresponding to the three Averos that they had, Avodah Zarah, Gilrois, and Shvichas Domim. Shneimer, as it says in the Pasuk, Lachin Biglalchem, because of you, Tzioin Sodet Ichoresh, Tzioin would be plowed like a field, that's one thing, the field, which is one decree, Yushalayim Iyin, Ian Tiel, and Yerushalayim would be in ruins, which is the second thing. V'har habayis lebomis, Yo'ar harabayis would be like the high places in the forest, which would become desolate, and that was the third decree. And now we're going back to where we left off before, the Dalad of the Bach, Aval Mikdash Sheni, but in the second base of Mikdash, Sha'onu b'kien boy. And we know about them, they were engaged in learning Torah, keeping mitzvahs, and doing chesed. Why did it get destroyed? Because there was baseless hatred between them. And this teaches us that the weight of baseless hatred is paralleled to the three cardinal averus, Avodah Zarah, Gilarois, and Shvichas Domim. Because it took those three averus to destroy the first Beis HaMikdash, and it just took Sinas Chinam to destroy the second Beis HaMikdash. Asks the Gemara, now we're skipping what we've already learned and going to the last of these narrow lines, Uba Mikdash Rishon they have a Beis Sinas Chinam? Are you suggesting that in the first Beis HaMikdash there was no baseless hatred? V'oksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Za'ak v'heilel, means you should cry and wail, Benodom, ki hi hoysa v'ami, hi b'chol nesiyei Yisrael, megurei el cherev, they feared the sword, hoyu es ami lechein, sfoik el yorek, you should bang your thighs in fear, in pain. So what do we see from there? We see from there that there was fear, one from the other, that they were afraid of each other's swords. There was obviously hatred going on there. V'omer Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said, what's going on? Where do you see in this pasuk hatred? Eilu b'nei Adam sha'oichlin v'shoisim ze'em ze'. We're talking about people who it would seem as if they were friendly with each other. They would eat and drink together. V'doikrin ze'em ze'. The cherev, the swords mentioned here that was so fearful, they would stab each other's b'charovis shepel eshoinom with the daggers of their tongue. They would speak against each other. That's sinas chinam. So the Gemara is asking, how can you say in the first Beis HaMikdash there was avodah zarah, gilarois, shvichas domim, there was also sinas chinam? Says the Gemara, no, you're right, there was sinas chinam, but that wasn't amongst the whole nation. That was only amongst some of the leaders. Hahu b'nesiyei Yisrael havoi, that was only by the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Tichsiv, it says at the beginning of the Pasuk, Za'ak v'heilel ben Adam, you should cry and wail, ki hi hoysa bo'ami, hi b'chol Nesiyei Yisrael. It says explicitly that this issue was only by the Nesiyei Yisrael, by the leaders, it wasn't amongst all the people. V'tanya, we learned in a braisa, Za'ak v'heilel ben Adam, yochei l'koil. We may have thought that everybody was guilty of this. Talmud Leimar, the Pasuk says, "He b'chol Nesiyei Yisrael," that this was only by the Nesiyim, by the leaders. And therefore, the first Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed because of this, because it was not rampant amongst all the people. What was rampant amongst the people was Avodah Zarah, Gilarois, and Shvichas Domim. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, de Omer Tarvayu, they both said, Rishonim shenizgalu avoinom, in the first Beis HaMikdash, where the Averis were in the open, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Shefichas Domim, were very serious Averis, but nobody was trying to hide anything. Nizgalu Keitzom, then the end of the Golus was also revealed, 30 years. It was predetermined they would be in Golus for 70 years, and they were redeemed from Golus. Achreinim, however, from the second Beis HaMikdash, Shelo Nizgalu Avoinom, then where the Averis were all done in hiding, the Sinas Chinom, and it was done in hiding, Lo Nizgalu Kitzom, then the end of the Golus has not been revealed, and this seems to show that the Avera, which is the one which is hidden from the eye, is a much more serious Avera than Avodah Zarah, Gilui Aryeis, and Shefichas Domim. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Toivo Tziporinon Shel Rishoim, the lowest of the people, that means the least significant and prominent of the people in the first Beis HaMikdash, were better than Mikreison Shel Achreinim, than from the stomachs, which means the most, I mean, Tziporinon means the nails. The Kreison is the stomach. The nails are very insignificant. The stomach is a very vital and prominent organ in the person. So he's saying that even the Tziporinon Shel Rishoim, the people of the least prominence and significance in the first Beis HaMikdash, were better than those who were most prominent in the second Beis HaMikdash. Omalei Rish Lakish argued with Rabbi Yochanan and said, no, Adarab, on the contrary, Achreinim Adifa, it was those of the second Beis HaMikdash that were better, because Afal Gav De'ikas Shibud Malchus, because in spite of the challenges of the issues of the Churban Bayis Sheni, Ka'oski Bateira, nonetheless, they would go, in spite of all that, they would toil in Torah and learn Torah, and that was a tremendous virtue and stood to their credit. Omale, Rabbi Yochanan said, no, Bira Teichiach, just look at the Beis HaMikdash, that will be the proof. Shechazo l'Rishonim, the Beis HaMikdash was given back to the people of the first Beis HaMikdash, v'lechazo l'Achreinim, was not given back to the people of the second Beis HaMikdash. So you see, the people of the Churban Bayis Sheni were worse than those of the Bayis Rishon. Continues the Gemara, Shalu es Rabbi Elazar, Rishonim Gedoilim, Oy Achreinim Gedoilim, who was greater, those of the Churban Bayis Rishon or those of the Churban Bayis Sheni? Omar lehem, Tnu Einechem Bebira, look, envision the Beis HaMikdash. Where's the Beis HaMikdash? The first Churban, the Beis HaMikdash was replaced. The second Churban, it wasn't. So clearly the people of the Churban Bayis Rishon were better people. Ikud Amra, others said, Omar Lemi said to them, Eidechem Bira, the Beis HaMikdash is the witness. To the same effect, the fact that the Beis HaMikdash came back to the first after the first Churban and not after the second Churban shows how serious the Averis of the second Churban were. Continues the Gemara. Rish Lakish, who originated from Eretz Yisrael, have a sochi biyardone, he was swimming in the Yardin. Also Rabbi Bar Bar Chono, who originated from Bovel, he came, Yoav Leyode, and he gave his hand to Rish Lakish to help him out. Omale Rish Lakish said to Rabbi Bar Bar Chono, Eloha, Hashem Sonino Luchu, he hates all of you from Bovel that didn't come up with Ezra at the end of the Golus Bovel. You stayed in Bovel. It says in the Pasuk, Im Choymohi, if it's like a wall, if she'll be like a wall, Nivno Leo Tiras Kesef, we will build on it a crown of silver. Ve'im Delesi, but if it's just like a door, Notzur Oleo Luach Erez, then we will close her off with boards of cedar. What does that mean? Im asisem atzmachem kechayma, if all of you together would have come up like a wall, which is an erect wall made of lots of bricks, all together, if all of you would have come up, va'alisem kulchem b'me Ezra, you would have all come up in the time of Ezra, the end of the 70 years of Golus Bavel, then nimshaltem kekesev, then you would be compared to silver, she'ein rekev sholet boy, that decay does not control it, it doesn't get decayed. And that means that the Shechina would have been in the second Beis HaMikdash and wouldn't be lacking. Achshav Shalisem Kedal Sois, now that you came up at the end of the Golos Bovel, you came up just like doors in a gate. One door is open, one door is closed, it's just partially opened. So too, just a few of you, part of you came up from Bovel to Eretz Yisrael, not all of you. Then Nimshaltem Ke'eres, then you compared to a cedar tree, Sharekev Shoelet Boi, which that the decay is overcomes it, and therefore there'll only be part of the cedar tree is left over, and therefore the main Shechina that you had in the first Beis HaMikdash will not be there, and there'll just be a little bit of Shechina in the second Beis HaMikdash, but it will not be as significant as in the first Beis HaMikdash. My errors, what's with this wood of cedar? Oma'ula sasmogir. It's a type of a worm called sasmogir. My sasmogir. And what is this alluding to? What's this sasmogir referring to? Omer Baba, baskel. It's like a baskel. In the same way as we had Nevuah, which was the voice of Hashem, a baskel is just an echo. So too, when this worm eats away at the wood, some of the wood gets left behind, but some of it gets eaten away. And so too, since you didn't come up together, therefore you caused that the Shechina was not there in its full glory, and it was there only on a much smaller level, just like an echo of the Shechina called Baskel. And that's why Rish Lakish said that Hashem was not happy about that. Ketanya, we learned in a Braisa, Keshameisu Nevi'im Achreinim, when the last of the Nevi'im passed away, who were they? Chagai, Zechariah, or Malachi? Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh Mi'Yisrael. Then Ruach HaKodesh also left Klal Yisrael. V'adayin hoyim mishtamshim bebaskel. But it's just a baskel, a type of an echo of the Nevuah. The remnants of Nevuah is all that was left during the second Beis HaMikdash. Asks the Gemara that you just narrated that there was a discussion between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. Where did this discussion take place? Not in the Beis Medrash, it was outside, it was on the shore of the Jordan, of the Jordan River, the Yaradin. And the question is, we know that Rish Lakish was very particular not to speak to anybody unless they were extremely, extremely prominent and prestigious people. He would not talk with anybody outside the Beis HaMedrash. V'Rish Lakish mimishtoi behad Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. Could it be that Rish Lakish was engaged in talk with Rabbi Bar Bar Chana outside the Beis HaMedrash? Umar Rebbe Eliezer, Demora de Eretz Yisrael, de Arad Yisrael. Rebbe Eliezer was called the leader of Eretz Yisrael for reasons discussed in other places, in Nida. V'loi hava mishtoi Rish Lakish behadei. And Rish Lakish would not speak to him outside the Beis HaMedrash. Demanda mishtoi Rish Lakish behadei b'shok. It was known that Rish Lakish wouldn't speak to anyone in the marketplace outside the Beis HaMedrash unless they were extremely prestigious people, and anyone that was fortunate enough that Rish Lakish would speak to them, yavu le'iska, that you would know he was an extremely, extremely reliable and great person, that people would do business with them, b'loi sehada, and would not even need witnesses. They would know if Rish Lakish spoke to this person, you don't need any witnesses. So, and we know that Rish Lakish wouldn't speak to Rebbe Eliezer, who was the Mora d'Arad Yisrael, Bahadur Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Mishtoi, he would engage in dialogue with Rabbi Bar Bar Chana outside the Beis HaMedrash. It's not possible. It's not probable. Omer of Papa, Rav Papa says, indeed, Shadi Gavra Beinayu. You have to throw one of the people. That means the incident was talking about Rish Lakish, who was swimming, and Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, who gave him a hand. One of the two is wrong. Oy Rish Lakish hava uziri. Either indeed Rish Lakish was swimming and it was Ziri who gave his hand, and Ziri was a very, very prominent and prestigious person. Rish Lakish would talk to him in the outside the Beis HaMedrash. Oy Rabbi Bar Bar Chana hava, or it was Rabbi Bar Bar Chana indeed who gave his hand. Rabbi Lazar, and it was Rabbi Lazar who was swimming. And then there's no issue. When Rish Lakish came to Rabbi Yochanan, then and he told him the dialogue and what had happened, and that he told Rish Lakish had told Rabbi Bar Chana that Hashem was upset with the people who didn't come up from Bavel, and because you didn't all come up from Bavel, that's why the Shekhinah wasn't in the second Beis Hamikdash. Omalei, Rabbi Yechonon said to Rish Lakish, Lav Hainu Tama, that's not the reason that the Shekhinah wasn't in Eretz Yisrael in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. Even if everybody would have come up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael in the time of Ezra, the Shekhinah would not have resided in the second Beis Hamikdash. Why not? It says in the Pasuk, Yaft Elohim, Hashem gave beauty to Yefes, and Hashem dwells in the tents of Shem. Even though there was something very beautiful about Yefes and the descendants of Yefes are the Persians, the Parasim, who they actually built the second Beis Hamikdash, nonetheless, Eina Shekhinah Sheira, the Shekhinah only resides Elo Ba'ale Shem, only in the tents of Shem, only in the Beis Hamikdash that was built by a descendant of Shem, namely the first Beis Hamikdash built by Shlomo HaMelech. We know it was the Persians that built the second Beis Hamikdash. How do you know that the Persians are descendants of Yefes? And therefore, Yafteli Kimli Yefes is telling us that the second Beis Hamikdash was indeed rebuilt by Yefes. Nonetheless, Yishkein Ba'al Hashem, the Shekhinah will not reside there, only in the first Beis Hamikdash. Yes, Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Bnei Yefes, when the Pasuk goes through the children of Yefes, it says it was Goymer, Umogoy, Gomodai, V'yavon, V'suval, Umeshech, V'siros. And the Gemara is going to go through these places. And we'll read them in the text that we have in the Gemara. Goymer, where is Goymer? Zu Germania. And the Goyen says it's Germania. Mogoy, Zu Kandia. Modai, Zu Makdonia. Yovon Kamashmoi is Yovon, Tuval Zubeis Unaiki, Meshech Zumusia, Vesiros, what's Tiros? Pligibor of Simoi Vrabonon, they argued, Vomrilor of Simoin Vrabonon argued, Chad Omazer based to Raiki, one said it was based to Raiki, Vchad Omazer Poras said it was Persia. So we already have one opinion that says that Siros is Persia. And we know that it was the Parasim that built the second Beis Hamikdash. Tanya of Yosef, we learned in the Braisa by Rav Yosef, Tiras de Poras, explicitly Tiras is Poras. So we see that Poras is a descendant of Tiras. Tiras is a son of Yefes. So when it says Yafteli Kimli Yefes, that even though the Persians, they merited, and that's the beauty that Hashem gave to them, that they would rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash, nonetheless the Shekhinah would not reside there, rather in Yishkein Ba'al Hashem, only in the first Beis Hamikdash. And that's what Rabbi Yechonon said to Rish Lakish, that the second Beis Hamikdash that was built with the aid of the Persians would not be able to hold the Shekhinah, even if had everybody come up together. And Yemirat Hashem, in the next shir, we'll continue from here discussing more of the descendants and where the places were.